Hello, and welcome back to this episode of Pints and Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hop Head Ted.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, the Hungry Man from Everybody's Hungry.
I feel like I'm sitting up a little more.
You are. You got great posture today.
Either that or my microphone is drooping down. Ooh. I don't know. So as I adjust that, as always, this episode of Pints and Pairings, and Pints and Pairings is brought to you with generous support from the Beer Cave. That is my beer cave. Your beer cave, if you choose to go there, I guess. They've got.
We encourage you to go there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've been bragging that they have somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million beers, which I don't know if that's true or not.
Maybe a million bottles.
It just seems like they do
hundreds of styles, maybe millions of bottles.
Imports, craft beer, certainly a large section of that, probably 95% of their beer supply is American craft beer. They even have some of those other beers that are like yellow fizzy water, which leads into our next segment here, and you'll understand that in just a minute. You can find them at 231 Village Commons Boulevard. That is in Camarillo, California. It is right off the freeway. Pretty easy to get to. So make sure you stop in, pick up a couple beers on your way home. Don't drink in the car. Wait till you get home. But when you're in there, make sure you tell Sammy, the owner, or Mo, who is always working behind the counter. I don't think he ever takes a day off. Make sure you tell them that you heard about it here.
Find them on Facebook, too, at Beer Cave and Deli in Camarillo.
There it is. And let them know. You can talk to them and say, hey, I want this beer. And they'll try and get the beer. So it's all great. We're moving on to specialty beer number BJCP category 23, and it just says
we took a little leapfrog.
Well, we did, but what I really like about this category is it says specialty beer, and there are no subcategories.
Can we read it?
Because it is way too long.
I just want to say this is explicitly a catch-all category for any beer that does not fit into an existing style category.
Okay, I thought you were going to read the stuff that was underneath that. No, that is. So this can be anything. And so when I led in on my lead in that the Beer Cave even sells the yellow fizzy beer, that is a slogan that Stone cherishes that they use. This is not a yellow fizzy beer. Their beers are not for yellow fizzy beer drinkers.
No, sir or ma'am.
So I was thinking earlier when I first had this beer. And so this would have been probably 2006, if you can believe it. Ooh, was the first time that I had old. That I had Arrogant Bastard. And I bought into the hype immediately, Jason. I read the back of the bottle. It said I wasn't worthy. I fancied myself as a beer drinker. I took that charge head on. So I bought into the hype. I poured it, and it is still today one of my favorite beers. At 7.2%, how, you know.
And especially in the Southern California area like we're broadcasting from, people love their Stone. I know some guys that only drink, if they're going to drink an IPA, they only want a Stone IPA.
It's a fantastic beer.
It's a fantastic beer. It's consistent. And I've been through the tour of their facilities. They're clean and sanitary, just the way a brewery should be. They're well laid out. And all those things, when they look at the attention to detail and the flow, lend themselves to a quality, consistent product. They've got a great lab that I've seen, you know, in terms of analyzing each batch, verifying that it's going to come out the way they expect it to. And I think that's why people get on board, because they know what to expect when the bottle gets open. But also, they've got an awesome logo. I mean, who leverages gargoyles as part of their marketing campaign?
Right.
Stone does.
And then you've got a beer that's called Arrogant Bastard on top of it. So, you know, it's all around just a great way to market the beer and for beer geeks to take pride in what they're wearing. There's plenty of "You're Not Worthy," which is another Stone slogan, t-shirts, coasters, whatever, all over the place. So back to the first time that I had this I had been homebrewing for a number of years, probably 5, 6, 7 years. And I had been brewing a beer that was similar to this, but I had no idea, and it wasn't my recipe or anything else. I had no idea what they were getting at with it until I tasted this. It was one of the first beers that I got hooked on hop aroma. you know.
But what's awesome about this beer, this particular Arrogant Bastard in my glass, one, it's holding up great carbonation. And again, going back to consistency and expectations, every glass I've ever poured from Stone has awesome carbonation. It's balanced. It's not going to overflow on you. But there's a malt background, but not just to abuse the general term malt backbone or background. It has this honey, almost stone fruit, like apricot, peach kind of essence that comes through with a burnt sugar topping. If you were to take some great ripe peaches, run a little bit of honey or drizzle a little honey over the top of them and then grill them, that caramelization, that sweet sugary fruit that comes out is exactly what I'm smelling before I even take a drink.
Yeah. And then what, after you take the drink, there's a certain amount of malt sweetness, but it is a hop forward beer. It is a hop flavor. It is a hop bittered beer. What's interesting about this, and the reason that it falls into a specialty ale as opposed to a strong ale or anything else, is just that there are so many different grains that are being used, different brewing processes. And so it's just, I don't know if outside of the person who's in charge of brewing this, if they actually know, you know, if anyone actually knows what's in this beer.
Maybe not. It might be one of the secret recipes because of the following that it has. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty smart too. Just like selling, not selling, but giving away popcorn in a bar, the level of hot bitterness that comes out in this makes my mouth salivate. It makes me want to take another drink.
Well, so, you know, this beer is 7.2, I think, if you can take a look at that. I think it's 7.2%.
You
so
are on target,
it's
sir.
It's nothing to laugh at, and it comes in a 22 bomber. So there's a healthy amount of beer in this bottle. But the fact that it is so flavorful, so malt forward too, because if there wasn't the malt there, this would be an astringent, bitter beer.
Sucking on an aspirin.
And so you've got this giant malt backbone to balance it, to balance all the bitterness, but it's not a heavy, full beer.
No, it rinses clean from your palate. You don't feel like you've got a thick mouthfeel. The flavors still are mingling a little bit, but it dissipates in a nice time frame. So, again, when you get ready for that next drink, you're getting a brand new, fresh take on the beer.
Certainly. Food pairing wise, this is kind of even like the spiced beers that we did, the holiday beers, is the same kind of things. I love this beer with just my salty comfort foods. I mean, that is right. Just because what it just cuts through all of the nonsense, whether it's fat or it's salt or it's fried goodness, it just cuts right through.
I have to tell you, I'm excited about this segment because normally you and I are right on the same page. And although I don't disagree with you, I was not thinking down those roads initially. And what I'm really gravitating towards with this beer, even though there's a balance in the glass of that malty backbone and the hoppy bitter astringency, I think it could use some more sweetness, and I want to go down the Thai realm with a great, either like a satay or a beef salad with a peanut sauce. I want that rich, sweet, peanutty, nutty component to gravitate, or not gravitate, I don't want to abuse that term, but to really grapple with this beer. I want it to fight in my mouth a little bit and say, hey, I'm sweet. No, I'm sweet. No, I'm salty. Yeah, I've got a little bitterness. And really to come to terms and finish with an awesome pairing. Because I think especially if you do a great steak or a beef satay, like you're leading into, that salty, minerally juiciness of and fattiness of a great stick of beef dabbled in the peanut sauce is what this beer is asking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's one of the best things about the beer too, is that you can go from one polar opposite to the other. And, you know, as we're talking about, I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? I've done a bunch of pairings with this. And so I'm just like in the moment going, oh, I could really use a giant cheeseburger or big piece of pizza right now, whatever it
you
was.
You know what I've had recently, though? If we want to go down dessert category a little bit, that I think would be really good. It was a basic oatmeal raisin cookie with chocolate chips. If you want to go obvious pairing, that nutty oatiness of the base oatmeal cookie with the sweet richness of a raisin, mm-hmm. and that little blast of bittersweet chocolate and sweetness,
mm-hmm.
it could be a very simple pairing that people could enjoy yep. this beer with.
Okay, so I've got this. One of the pairings that I did was I did a bunch of chocolate pairings with these.
Okay,
and there's a chocolatier
up in Carp, right?
In Carpinteria. Callie Bresson is the name of the chocolate.
You just went and did some photography for them, right?
I was up and taking some pictures and doing some other stuff in Carp. But this one, so they have a bonbon that has this Earl Grey ganache. Now, Earl Grey is...
It's a black tea.
What's that?
It's a black tea, right?
It's a tea, but it's made with the oils from a specific kind of orange. So you have this citric bitterness, boom, right here in this okay. beer. Then you've got this dark chocolate on top of it.
Sorry, and I'm on the verge of derailing you sentence after sentence.
Come on, Jason.
It didn't occur to me, like I was feeling and tasting something on my tongue and my palate, and as soon as you said citrusy bitterness, immediately I realized it's grapefruit pith.
Grapefruit, yep.
Grapefruit pith.
There it is. And so you've got this great chocolate, but anything that you're looking for, so even if it's a scone maybe with candied orange peel or candied grapefruit kind of peels on top, or even just little chunked up inside, that those could, so if you want to have this for breakfast, there's an option for you. The other thing too was there is another chocolate, and this one is going to be, I mean, these chocolates for anyone else are going to be really hard to come by, but this has a praline in it, a praline filling with nutmeg. And if you can put that into anything, you know, I don't care what dish it is, but praline for a dessert, pecans, maybe something to kind of pull out some of the nuttier flavors that are hiding underneath in sure. this beer that just kind of need a little more to resonate with.
And you mentioned earlier on the fatty aspect that would go nicely with this. It would cut through some fatty dishes. Olive oil for me is a very velvety, not animal fat focused, but definitely a mm-hmm. fatty coating kind of feel with awesome green flavors and vibrancy. I think this could benefit from some of that.
Mm.
And I'm going to take you to one of my favorite chocolatiers, which is a national chocolatier at this point, based in Chicago. That's Vosges, V-O-S-G-E-S.
Oh,
I thought you would say that because I think that we've talked about this in the past. But Katrina over there, she's the owner and the founder of Vosges. Her and her team have come up with this truffle that I've had numerous times. It's called the Olio de Oliva, first press extra virgin olive oil, white chocolate and green olives. And now we know that
is that the one that stands up? Is that the rooster or is that
no? This isn't
okay,
one.
Go ahead.
That's all right. It's one of their collection packs. I don't know if you can get the olive oil truffle by itself, but it is one of their collection packs, the Italian collection pack specifically. Technically, white chocolate is not a chocolate, okay? It's right. cream and sugar. But this one works really well. And partially the reason it works well is because you get that, again, that unctuous, velvety, extra virgin olive oil that comes through, the creamy, sweet white chocolate. But then they throw in the dried green olives. So you're getting that salty component that we talked about in the past that would, you know, really elaborate some of those spicy, malty notes of this beer. I feel like I want to go to the nearest kiosk and pick up some Vosges right now.
I've been to their place downtown in Chicago.
You've been downtown?
Yeah.
I haven't been there yet. I've been to the one in the airport, their kiosk yeah. there. That's usually where I stock up. Yeah. But also locally, Paradise Pantry carries their product.
And I was there probably, it could have been as many as 10 years ago. I don't know. My wife would always had these conferences there. And so she would go there. And then eventually I just started saying, hey, why am I not going with you? You know, you've got the hotel room and I could just go play for a while. So figured this out. And then, but since then, I mean, I think that was probably what I'd had really great chocolate in Europe, and just and this is just over-the-counter chocolate bar stuff in Europe that just tastes so great. It's minus the wax. It's minus all this other stuff that you get in finding an over-the-counter chocolate bar here. And so I already had this appreciation for chocolate. And then to find Vosges, that was just kind of what said, this is the chocolate movement is so much like beer in that we're willing to pay a premium price for this little tiny thing that is so flavorful that it can in no way be conceived as a waste of money for this.
Most definitely.
And so anyway, so if you're in Chicago or at any kiosk and you know, to
order
find
online.
A Vosges or online.
One of the things we talked about in the pre-show, though, was the diversity and the flexibility of the beers in these categories. The level of spice and bitterness and hoppiness of all the different styles that we're going through in today's broadcast opened the door for a lot of different options. One of the other things I was thinking about staying in the dessert category for this beer is just a very simple, like a cream puff or an eclair as well. Mm-hmm. That flaky, buttery richness of a great quality crust or puff pastry, mm-hmm. a little bit of sweet, light and airy and vibrant cream, and a drizzle of chocolate could hit all the components we've talked about in many of the dishes.
And what I like, really, really like about that, too, is that the cream puff itself will help tamp down the aggressive flavors of this beer. So the hop bitterness, the hop flavors, the citric bitterness, all of those, because your mouth is coated with fat or it's coated with cream. Well, I guess cream is fat.
Yeah.
So it's just coated with different forms of fat.
Yeah, variations of fat.
And so then what happens is the beer has to kind of work through that in order to get to your taste buds. And so as it gradually comes in, then it's not such a shock to the senses, maybe. And so as it's coming in, it has to work its way through. Then all of a sudden you get this full flavor as they meet kind of somewhere in between. And you're happy for the bitterness on the end because it's cleansing the palate from all of the
and if
sweet
it's a,
and the fat.
It's a great, like, sugary but also light and airy cream. Mm-hmm. It almost should act like a palate cleanser for this beer. Mm. So where you're getting all the flavors and nuances of both ingredients, and then it just kind of washes away and it's ready for the next recharge and next bite.
Definitely. I was looking at a couple things here that I had written up about Arrogant Bastard in the past. You know, if I ever did any homework for this show, but this is why it was so great, because I was happy to sit here and talk about burgers and pizza. And then you went that way and I'm like, wait a second, what's happening? But Asiago, so like nutty cheeses.
Yes.
Asiago, Parmesan. And then we talked of just a little bit with the praline, so desserts with any kind of nuts in it. Some of the things that I've written down before. And
if you're sitting in a pub, because we've talked about the salty, get yourself a great order of calamari. Salty beer battered calamari, and you'll be a happy camper. Little squirt of zesty lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the football game. There's nothing better than this time of year.
Right. Yeah, the one thing you might not want to do is work yourself up into a salt frenzy, because you'll end up sucking this beer down.
This is true. But you know what? As soon as I said, oh, salty, deep-fried, battered calamari, you know where my mind went?
What's that?
To my trip to Indiana last month, and I sat in the bar with my friend, and I ate deep-fried mozzarella sticks with marinara, which also would be a perfect option for this beer. Get yourself a 22-ounce bomber, some deep-fried mozzarella sticks with that savory, herby batter and crust, and then a tangy tomatoey marinara dipping. That could be my whole meal right now.
I don't have that. I'm sorry, Jason.
We have to find a place.
Okay, we might be able to. That seems like we've wrapped this one up.
Let's put a little holiday bow
before we get too off track. This could also be any number of these beers could also be considered winter warmers too. So we talked about holiday spice and Christmas beers in another episode. A more global way to think about kind of these is the winter warmer. So any of them that are heavy beers that you would want to sit and maybe drink in front of a fireplace that warm you up from the inside out. So this could be kind of considered that as well. Certainly, on a 90-degree day, the hop and carbonation and alcohol of this would help as well, especially if you're at the beach. That's always good. You know, we say it at the end of every episode, sometimes in the middle of them, to go to iTunes, give us a rating there.
Hoppedsed.com/pints pairings.
Everybody's hungry, slash, or is it just...
It is. No, everybodyshungry.org/pints and pairings.
There it is. Jason's much better at this than I am. And then...
you're doing great.
YouTube, all of these things.
Wax on, wax off. You're in training right now.
And there's... that's right. Twitter accounts. I'm Hophead Said. You are...
And Hophead Said now has an Instagram account. Let's not lose sight of that. We should be taking pictures of every one of these beers.
This is the perfect setting for me to be using Instagram. I just joined.
Follow Hophead Said on Instagram, and we'll start taking pictures of all the beers in our episodes so you know what we tasted and what we're talking about.
Right. And all those links, for me, for easy sake, just go to Hophead Said. You can find me there. And you can find Jason
at everybodyshungry.org.
That's the best way. And maybe we'll just condense it that way.
I think that's a beautiful option because all our links for all our media platforms, which are ever expanding, are right there. Hopheadsaid.com, everybodyshungry.org, and follow the podcast on iTunes. Get a subscription because as soon as the link goes up, you get the update.
Absolutely. As always, Jason, I want to remind all of our guests who are watching or listening to eat, drink, and be happy.
And we'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.
Cheers.